Would please to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm not going to re-preach the message over again that I preached last night, but we're going to pick up from there. And we saw last night, oh, by the way, how many of you are going to do what your pastor asked you to do? Do you think you ought to do what your pastor asked you to do? He asked you to call somebody who's not here, right? And say, hey, you need to get to the mission conference. I sat there and saw that presentation, just sat there with tears running down my cheeks. Just think, Donnelly came to the United States when she was 13, and you're young enough, I can ask you, how old are you now, Donna? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, she can't be that old. I'd love to be their age, you know. How many of you would love to be their age again? All right. So I'm just going to guess. But that was 13, 14 years ago. She had never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, just think of it. How many people on that island have died and gone to hell since she left and came here to hear the gospel? And you know, that's one reason why the devil hates America. Be sure to be here Saturday night, because we do have places where the gospel is preached in the United States. And we are sending missionaries. But here's a family that wants to go back to that island so that the folks will hear the gospel, so they'll be without excuse. And so I just thank God for you and what you're going to do. And may, you said you'll be another Bruce Miller. May you far exceed Bruce Miller, brother, and be all that God wants you to be. But Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 9, fill in the blank, it said, for we are laborers together with God. We saw last night that being in, being involved by prayer and finances in the faith mission program through grace giving, the faith mission program of First Baptist Church of Easton, we are partners with God in His redemptive program to save souls. We're His partners. Now, not only are we partners with God, but look here in chapter 3, and we read these verses last night. I said this, but this is what I'm concentrating on tonight. We're partners with the missionaries. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4, they had a problem. Verse 3 says there were divisions, and divisions were they liked their favorite preachers, and they let it be known who they liked and who they didn't like. And in verse 4, one saith, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos. Are ye not carnal? You know, this is not a missions comment, but I know people who, when a pastor leaves the church, or if a certain evangelist is not in the church, they don't show up. That's man worship, not God worship. Now, I appreciate people that God's used in my life in the past. One of them you have preach here as often as he can, Brother Bob Hamlin. He and I went to college together, but he impacted my life also. And I appreciate him. But whether he's preaching or not, if the church doors are open, it's my church, I'm going to be there. And so you're carnal if you only do something if certain people are spiritually leading you. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now here's what I want you to notice, verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Notice, God said here that Apollos and Paul, and in 2 Corinthians, they had to be written again about this only following certain men, and Peter was in on it that time. God said that they're all on the same team. They're all working together. One might plant, one might water, but God gives the increase. Now the Bible says this, look at verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. So it's not just that the missionary is a laborer with God, but All of us who are helping the missionaries are laborers, notice the word, together with God. So we're God's partners, but we're also partners with the missionaries. And I want you to notice specifically three areas tonight where God says we ought to partner up with the missionaries. Let's pray. God, please speak through my heart tonight. I thank you, Lord. I think it was about 44 or 45 years ago when I got to start taking part in Faith Promise Missions and being a partner with missionaries all around the world. I thank you for that privilege. Lord, it's not just a privilege, but it's a responsibility. Because you told us, go ye, go you all, go use guys into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's our responsibility. So help us to partner properly with the missionaries. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. I want to share with you three specific areas where the Word of God indicates we're to partner with the missionaries. The first one is the one that's always mentioned. The first one is on your faith promise sheet. It's the first one. I will pray regularly for our missionaries and world evangelism. Now, how important is prayer? Well, the Bible says we have not because we ask not. If we don't pray enough for enough of the right things, people are going to go to hell. But the Bible says that Jesus said, ask and it shall be given unto you. And the Bible says, for everyone that asketh receiveth. The Bible also says in 1 John this. This is the confidence that we have in God. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And we know that if He heareth us, we have the petitions which we ask of Him. Well, why is that verse important to you, Brother Miller? Well, it's important to me because praying for people to take the gospel to the lost is according to God's will. How do you know that's according to God's will? Didn't He say, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Well, how do you know God wants them saved? Doesn't the Bible say God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance? So when you're praying for missionaries to be successful in winning souls, that's according to God's will. And the Bible says we know if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And we know that if He heareth us, we have the petitions which we ask of Him. And so prayer is important. When we pray for the success in winning the lost of our missionaries, then God will do that. But when we don't pray, the Bible says we have not because we ask not. In James, the Bible says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, I used to, in mission conferences, just urge people to pray. I'm not going to do that because that's misleading. That's misleading because that gives the impression that no matter what condition spiritually we're in, when we pray, God's going to answer our prayers. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the effectual. That means it means something to you. You're serious about it. It's urgent. Not just one of these generic, God bless our missionary. He's already blessed our missionaries. They're there. They had food that day. No, you pray specifically. But it says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, somebody who's right with God, availeth much. If you're not right with God, don't expect an answer to your prayers. Why? Well, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The Bible says, the righteous Lord, God's righteous, loveth righteousness. So when I've got unrighteousness in my heart or life, I don't need to be praying about the missionaries. I don't even need to be praying about my kids and my grandkids. Why? Because God will not hear me. Well, how can I take care of that? If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And then when we obey the Lord, that's righteousness that we're living out from the righteousness He placed in us, Romans chapter 4 and 5, when we put our faith in Him. Now, Romans chapter 6 says we're to yield the members of our body as members of righteousness unto God. So if you're right with God, now if you know there's something God's commanded you to do and you're not doing it, get right with God. So that people go to heaven instead of hell. How so? So you can pray for your missionaries that God will open up people's hearts and they'll get saved when they hear the gospel. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James chapter 5. Hey, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he said, I'm going to tell you about the terrible time I went through. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant about the terrible time I went through when I was on the mission field. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 8, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure. Do you know what we call that in this day and age? We call that being depressed. Pressed out of measure. He said, I cannot even tell you how I felt. I know a preacher in Missouri that got so depressed, he quit the ministry for 7 years. Some preachers finally rescued him. He's back in the ministry today. So I heard if you're depressed, you're backslidden. There's a lot of reasons why you might be depressed. He said, I was pressed out of measure above strength insomuch that we despaired even of life. Think of that. He would get up in the morning and say, why did God let me live last night? I'd be just as good off dead, and the world would be just as good off dead. The cause of Christ would be just as good off dead. You say, that is stinking thinking. I know, but that's the way depressed people think. He gave up on life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves. But he did something right. He trusted in God, which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. But look at verse 11. He said, ye also helping together by prayer for us. He said, you were praying for us. And during that time, you were praying for us. And I just want you to know, God answered your prayers. Many times people have come up to me and said, Brother Miller, I sure have been praying for you. And Brother Miller, I was praying. Man, I don't know why. God had me awake at 2 a.m. a couple weeks ago. I said, what week was that? And they tell me. And I said, do you know what was going on in my life at that time? No. And I share with them. They didn't even know what they were praying about. God just had them out of their bed and on their knees saying, oh God, help Brother Miller. I don't know what I'm praying about, but you know what I'm praying about. Help him, Lord. They prayed. And they didn't know how serious it was. Paul had given up on life. That's pretty serious. But they were praying for him, and God helped him, and God delivered him, and he said, ye also helping together by prayer for us. We need to not only pray that our missionaries have the power of God to do the work of God, but we need to be praying for them personally. Whatever you feel, they feel. In any way that you're tried or tempted or tested, they are too. They're not spiritual Christian. They're not spiritual mighty mouses. They have the same trials that you do. We need to pray for them personally. And we need to pray for their power. Look, if you will, at Ephesians chapter 6. The Apostle Paul's talking again. And he's trying to help the Christians at Ephesus. And he's telling them how to have victory and how to stand, Ephesians 6:11, against the wiles of the devil. And he teaches them how to put on the whole armor of God. And in verse 18, he says that when they put on the armor of God, they need to be praying in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Could you name 10 people by name you prayed for today? It says we're to pray for all the saints. And we're to persevere in prayer. Don't give up. But look at the next verse. And for me, he said, and pray for me. Super Apostle Paul, you need prayer? Yeah. What do you want us to pray about this time? That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Have you ever wondered why Paul would go to an area, there'd be tremendous opposition, but a core of people would get saved, and before too long, there'd be a church established there, and he'd be off somewhere else doing the same thing all over again. And he'd be writing a letter back to them, like the church at Ephesus, the church to Philippi, the church at Colossae. He'd be writing a letter back to them, like the church at Corinth, where there'd been nothing but heathens before. There were born-again Christians organized in a church, and he had ordained elders in every church, pastors in every church, according to Acts chapter 14. Did you ever wonder how he did it? You say, he must have just had like a magic wand. He had the power of God. People were praying for him. A pastor texted me not long ago, actually 1 year ago. I haven't answered him yet. I said, why? I've been thinking for a year about how to answer him. And he said, Brother Miller, I keep hearing from preachers about these revivals that you're having in mission conferences and Bible conferences. And he said, it seems like God is using you in an unusual way the last few years. And I want to say to the glory of God, I'm preaching the same message, but God's given me results like I told you about that meeting I held where the church split the week before I got there, but on the last night they had 15 people saved. Amen. And the pastor's already been back with me. Hey, remember so-and-so got saved? They got baptized, and their parents came to church, and now they got saved. And remember so-and-so? Well, he's coming to our RU program. He's getting victory over addiction, and his wife's coming out, and she got saved. And this pastor in Winchester, Virginia, was hearing this kind of thing. And he said, I want God's blessing on my life. And he said, when we have revivals in our church, I want God to work that way. What would you say is the number one key, humanly, that's bringing that about? He said, don't say the touch of God. I know that. But what's the number one key? And I've been thinking for a year how to answer him. But you know what? I started off with about 30 people from my contact list. People would say, Brother Miller, I pray for you every day. I remembered who they were. And I thought, if they pray for me every day, then when I go to a special meeting, I'll ask them to pray specifically about that meeting. And now it's up to 90-some people out of my contact list of about 400 people on this cell phone. And when I go hold a meeting somewhere, I ask them to pray. Out of 90-some, a couple must be right with God, because God sure has been blessing me. I'm preaching the same Bible, same type of messages. I'm still giving it my all, but I did before. And where I had a few saved before, now we're having more and more and more saved. Or Christian strengthened, or people called to the ministry, or things like that. And churches adding missionaries and so forth. I don't have any magic preaching wand, and neither did Paul. He had an army of prayer warriors. And God answers prayer. Brother, When I heard you telling about the open doors, humanly speaking, the non-visa situation and all that, man, I was thinking of all that could be done through you and your church or churches there, and the ministry to the Caribbean. It's Caribbean, I know, but I say Caribbean. And then you start talking about China. Good night. Folks, pray for him. Because if you and I, in our finite pea brains, can see the possibilities, don't you think the very, not all intelligent, but very intelligent devil can see those possibilities? There is and will be a bullseye on you, brother, because you just don't have a vision for that one town. Greentown? Greenville? Grenville. You don't just have a vision for that. You were talking about the whole island and then a bunch of other islands. And then another, off on another continent over in Asia. There's going to be a bullseye on him. There's a bullseye on your church. There's a bullseye on your pastor. Why? Because look at that board over there. I know a pastor of a large, we would call it super church, Independent Fundamental Baptist Church, averaged about 1,200 a Sunday. He had about 12 missionaries. He said, you see those buses out there? He said, that's my mission field. Well, that is a mission field. But that's not all. Folks, there's a bullseye on this church. Because you're looking to the into all the world, to every creature. Pray that your missionaries will have the utterance, the right message, and the power, the boldness to make known the ministry, mystery of the gospel, and they can speak boldly as they ought to speak. So we need to partner in prayer. Number two, we need to partner in purse. Oh, that's why people don't go to mission conferences more, because they know you're going to talk about money. If that's your attitude, which it probably isn't because you're here, but for all the people who are not here because that might be their attitude, here are my responses. Really? Are you kidding me? When you go to McDonald's, do you talk that way? Oh, every time I go to a McDonald's, they want money. Do you talk that way at the Wawa? Every time I go to the gas station, they want money. I'm not coming back here again. Oh yeah, NASCAR fans, every time I go to a NASCAR race, they want $75, $225 ticket up here at Pocono. Oh really? Every time I go to Cabela's, they want, just go in and pick up everything free and try to walk out with it then. This is the real world. It costs money. And the Bible says the things that we love, we'll spend money on. Jesus said, man, those are my credit cards. Charlie, control yourself. The Bible says, thank you, Brother Hunsie. Charlie's open, you'll leave it there. He wants to pick it up afterwards. Oh, okay. The Bible says that Jesus said, thank you, Brother Hunsie. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there is your heart also. So if you've got a hard time spending money at the Lord's house and on missions, please, and I say this kindly, get on your knees and say, oh God, forgive me. I'm selfish. I don't mind spending money on myself when I'm hungry. And I don't mind spending money on myself for gas when I want to go somewhere. And I don't mind spending money on myself for my DirecTV or Dish program or my cable. I don't mind that, God. But it rubs me the wrong way when those preachers talk about money for missionaries. Will you get up there and get your heart in tune with God's heart and get right with God? We need to be a partner in purse with the missionaries. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians 4:10. I just had you in Ephesians 6. Next book is Philippians. As Brother Hamblin says, Genesis, Exodus, Philippians. In Philippians 4:10, the great Apostle Paul's talking about money. And he's commending this church because they cared for him financially. Philippians 4:10, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me. So what do these missionaries do with money? I'm glad some of you ask, what's the cost of this in Grenada? What's the cost of that in Grenada? I'm glad you ask. Where's our missionary money going to go? To those things. Hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Now this is the attitude I know of most missionaries. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. The pastor talked about that. They're going to go to a country with a different standard of living and so forth. If they lived in that country like we live in the United States, they wouldn't be effective reaching most of the people anyway. See, that is what the Roman Catholic Church did for years. Paul said, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer and eat. How are you able to do that, Paul? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have done well that ye did communicate with my affliction. So what'd they do? Send him an email? No, he's talking about giving. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning what? Giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Here was a church like your church, which not only gives once in a while, but they gave on a regular basis. He reminds them again. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now I said, you're a partner with the missionary. Paul was saying, when I go to Derby and start a church and people get saved, I won't only get a reward, but that's fruit that abounds to your account. You'll get a reward. And when I go to Lystra and win people to Christ and start a church, I'll not only get a reward, but you'll get a reward. That's fruit that abounds to your account. Folks, when your missionaries, the Cooks, had their first anniversary in Canada in their church, and 10 visitors came and one got saved, that's not only a reward that Brother Cook's going to get, but you're going to get that. That's fruit that abounds to your account, the Bible says. We need to be partners in prayer, partners in purse. And now, God, please, speak to hearts under this point also. We need to be partners in proclamation or preaching. Right now, on the foreign mission field, there are about 40,000 missionaries who are saying they're gospel preaching missionaries. Even with 40,000, 5 billion out of 7 billion people on the face of the earth have never heard the gospel yet. So it looks like we need, if we're going to count on missionaries to get the job done, we need about 100,000 missionaries, if you do the math. However, I need to tell you about something. Out of those 40,000, 20,000 of them are 55 years or older. What's the significance of that? Brother Joseph, what did you say about the only independent fundamental Baptist missionary in that nation of 100,000 people? What's going to happen in a few years? A few months. He's retired. And many say, I'll never retire. But God retires him. How? The way he's semi-retired, Brother Hamlin. The way he reminds you every once in a while when you have to go and have another surgery. The way I was talking to a preacher who just got back from Trinidad, a missionary with BIMI, and he's coming to teach a missions module in our college, Dr. Ballou. Donna, I was telling Joseph about it. And I said, how was your year, Dr. Ballou? He said, man, it was great. But he said, I about killed myself. I said, how's that? He said, I just scheduled too much. He said, I just can't do what I once did. He's in his 70s. He served God in 5 different countries this year. When missionaries would come home for a few months, he and his wife would pack up and they'd go and live and hold the fort. And I said, you know what? I said, I know what you're talking about. I said, you and I, guys our age, we schedule ourselves like we did 15 years ago. When we had the strength of flesh to go with the strength of what we were willing to do. I said, I just told the Lord the other day, I've got to take note of that for next year. And maybe take one meeting out each month or something. Because my body is starting to retire, even though I'm not. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Not just in the ministry. All right. 20,000 missionaries in the next 15 years are going to move back to the States or move to heaven. We've got to replace 20,000 of the current missionaries, plus we need another 60,000 on top of those that we have. So we need to join up in proclamation. And I want to ask you, what's wrong with you? Why can't you surrender to the Lord's work? You know what Brother Fred did a couple years ago? Working man, just like many of you folks, said, here am I, Lord, send me. It doesn't have to be a young person. It could be you. And go off to Bible college. And I want to tell you something. Going to Bible college is tough. Going to Bible college in Gaylord, Michigan is really tough. I've been there. What's there? Deer. Rabbits. Lynx. Bear. Fish. Snow. Did I say snow? Yeah. It's tough. But he said, here am I, Lord, send me. Brother Childers, Don Lee, here am I, Lord, send me. Well, I'm waiting for God to call me. He's commanded us, folks. And we need to say like Isaiah, here am I, Lord, send me. Send me. Hey, look up over here. I'm volunteering. Send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. The Bible says that Isaiah said, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? He's looking. He's asking around heaven. He's looking throughout the earth. Whom shall I send? And who will go for me? And Isaiah said, hey, I'm not chopped liver. Hear my Lord, send me. And in this day and age, sometimes you're able to be an effective missionary going to a mission field for 2 weeks or a month. Young people, kids in youth groups, go to the mission field and put on vacation Bible schools for a week with established missionaries and see people saved. And program night, the parents of those kids that came to Bible school come out to hear their little kids sing, and mom and dad get saved. And a youth group went for 1 week with their youth leaders. Missionaries go to the mission field. When that hurricane went through the islands down there, brother, it tore right on up and went into the Dominican Republic, and groups of people got together, men and women who knew how to use hammers and screwdrivers and saws, and went down and rebuilt churches and pastors' houses and Christian schools and so forth. I know of 17 churches in Brother Ron Autry's ministry in the Dominican Republic that were rebuilt by locals partnering with 1 and 2 week missionaries from the United States. Here am I, Lord, send me! Dr. Ackle, over from our church on Long Island, went to an African country. He's a dentist. Set up a dental clinic. I said, what'd you do? Did you fill a lot of teeth? He said, no, I pulled most of them. But they'd go, oh man, I got a toothache. He'd say, that's got to come out. He said, I didn't fill many teeth. I was yanking them out. On the way out, though, somebody was on the other side of the curtain in the clinic sharing the gospel with them. People got saved, people got saved, people got saved. We can partner in proclamation with the missionaries. Do what we're supposed to do here, and some of us say, here am I, Lord, send me, and go and do what we can do there. See, man, it's so hard here. People aren't getting saved. There's some parts of the world where people get saved a lot easier. Because they don't think they're already in heaven with the comforts of the American dream. They know life isn't worth that much. There must be something better. And they'll respond to the gospel oftentimes much more readily in some parts of the world than they do here. Are you going to be a good partner? God said we are laborers together. Are you going to be a good partner with God and a good partner with your missionary? Or are you just going to be like that dead weight that the team's dragging along, taking to all the games, but they don't dare put you in because you'd screw it up? Let's do our best in prayer, in giving, in purse, and in proclaiming. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for letting us be partners with you. Thank you, Lord. Help us to be willing partners with you. Lord, I pray that this church can continue to support every missionary they're supporting, and that the folks would match up with the pastor's vision that he shared last night. He'd like to add every missionary that's come into this conference, if God will lead. Lord, that can only happen if every member trusts you to tell you what they should give this year, and then give it, trusting you to meet their needs. And God, please, number two on our commitment list, we're to pray for the missionaries. Number two, we're to pray that you send more laborers. Please send more laborers into your harvest. In Jesus' name we ask. With heads bowed and eyes closed, how many of you would say, Brother Miller, I did. I prayed that today. I promised I would, and I prayed, and I asked God to show me by the end of this week what I ought to give to missions. I prayed about that. Would you raise your hand? All right? How many of you will keep praying? Good. And by the way, you young people ought to pray. It doesn't say if you're 21, bring all the tithes and offerings, that'd be mission gifts, into the storehouse. The Bible says, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered. If you earn anything, you ought to be given to the Lord. How many of you would say, Brother Miller, I also will begin to ditch and pitch that generic, God bless all our missionaries. I'll begin to take note of those missionary prayer requests and I'll begin to praise God with them and pray with them effectually and fervently. I will be a prayer partner with our missionaries, knowing that if they're successful, people will get saved, and if they're not, people will go to hell. I'll be an effective prayer partner of theirs. Would you raise your hand? Good. You're going to have set aside a time to do it. It takes time. Are there those here who would say, now listen carefully, I have already given my life to God for full-time ministry. It might have been at a youth camp, in a revival, a previous mission conference, I don't know. But you say, I have already given my life to God for full-time ministry. My life's a blank check. He can send me wherever he wants to. I've given my life to God, and I have not turned back on that. If you've already done that, would you raise your hand? I'm glad for you and you and you. God help these folks who have already done that not to turn back. You said once we put our hand to the plow, not to turn back, or we're not fit for the kingdom of God. With heads bowed and eyes still closed, how many of you would say, Brother Miller, God's been burning my heart. He's been directing my thoughts. I believe he wants me to be available to prepare to go with the gospel. And I'll say to God unreservedly, here am I, Lord, send me. I'll trust him to direct me to the right place in the right time, and I'll be busy for him right here until then. Here am I, Lord, send me. If that's you tonight, would you raise your hand? Amen. God be with these two folks. Lord, I have no idea. Sometimes I think that I'm pretty hot stuff, but the truth is, you didn't get much when you got me, but you did get me. Thank you for counting me worthy to be in the ministry. God be with these fellas. Thank you for counting them worthy. You saw their hand. You see their heart of surrender tonight. Help them to prepare. Help them to take the next step. God, if there's people in their lives that might try to hinder them, help them to fall in line, not stand in the way. God, please send forth more laborers into your harvest. Have your way in this mission conference. In Jesus' name we ask. Stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. If you want to come and pray for your missionaries tonight, if you want to come and continue to pray for the amount you ought to give tonight, the folks that said, here am I, Lord, send me, will you go right to your pastor and tell him that? Two adults walk right up and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm giving myself to God tonight. You say, why do I need prayer? Because you've got a lot of hurdles and obstacles. I know you do. We all do. We got a lot of baggage. God will have to arrange and rearrange a lot of things. Come on the first note right now. You raised your hand and said, here am I, Lord, send me. We come, tell your pastor, let him pray with you. You know God is so good. He will not send you where you don't want to go. Well, you say, I heard Brother Joseph Childers talking. He wanted to go to a cold place. God sent him to a hot place. After he's there for a little while, he'll just be so thankful to be there. God is so good. Here am I, Lord, send me. Hey, if God saved your dirty, sinful, useless soul and has made something out of you, he can make a servant out of you. Here am I, Lord, send me. Come now. The organist is playing a good song, All to Jesus I Surrender. I don't know what my parents would say if I surrendered to the Lord's work or surrendered to be a missionary. You might be surprised what God puts in your heart. I don't know what my wife would say or my husband would say. God might be working in their heart.
Need to come tonight? Folks have come and folks have prayed. God speak into your heart. You know, sometimes folks don't want to surrender because fear. Fear of the unknown. They know God's speaking to them, but they're fearful of what God might want.